welcome you both, Pam and Wendy, to the program. It's a pleasure to have you both here. And mental illness is such an important issue in this community, of course, across the country. And I have certainly been more connected with it this year because of the settlement agreement with the Department of Justice and Portland Police Bureau. And so it's become really something that I'm talking about almost daily. So welcome you both here. It's such a pleasure to have you here. And Wendy, I'm going to start with you. Tell me, you got involved because of your sister. You want to tell us a little bit about how you got involved with NAMI?
Well, Pam was my family-to-family instructor.
Oh, wow.
And I initiated my relationship with NAMI, and I was one of those lucky people that was really struggling with how to help my sister.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't able to be independent and support herself. She's not medicated. She has mastered a wonderful life for herself, and I think this is something we talk about in our family-to-family classes, how each individual situation is so different. It's a 12-week program. It's 3 hours a week. It's intense. There's families dealing with such hardship, and mm-hmm. we just can really, you know, form our own community and support one another. And Pam is instrumental in so many people's lives, helping them accept these brain functions that these individuals can't control, and then how can we best, as family members, support them? So from there, I just knew that all of us needed to continually support one another. We have to establish our own community, because even though one in four are affected, you can't go out and say, oh, I am having a really depressing day.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody says, oh, well, get better sleep, or, you know, do this.
Get over it.
Yeah, just, you know, come on, pull yourself up by your bootstraps type thing. And so it's an educational process for us to continually reach out and let people know that it's not something that they can control, like, you know, a cold.
And it's not a personal flaw, right? I mean, it's not a personality defect have a mental health issue.
It's not a flaw of character or a personality defect any more than a common cold is.
Mm.
If Wendy can control her common cold, I guess more power to
her.
but when, in fact, we talk in class about mental illnesses are disorders of an organ in the body, the brain. Like diabetes is a disorder of the pancreas, and asthma is a disorder of the lungs. The one thing is that the brain is so inaccessible, protected as it is by our skull, and we know much less about it. You know, over centuries, medical people haven't been able to get at it.
Mm-hmm.
But we do talk in our class about the kind of the double-edged sword of mental illness when it strikes you like a common cold. You get all these new symptoms, stuffy nose and burning eyes and cough and things that maybe you can control to some degree mm-hmm. with medication, but they overwhelm you. So you have all this new stuff. At the same time, your resilience, your pep, your get up at 6:30 and go out jogging, the things that you rely on and have always relied on as part of your strength as a person, those are dissipated. Mm-hmm. They're kind of gone, like they are when you have a common cold. You just want to roll over and wish you could get enough breath to go to sleep. Any illness is like that. A respiratory infection and mental illness have a lot in common.
Mm.
And people, as Wendy says, people whose loved ones live with these illnesses have very often a lot of chaos in their lives mm-hmm. because the symptoms aren't in your nose and your burning eyes and your cough. They're behavioral symptoms that mm-hmm. can really cause havoc for the person
mm-hmm.
and for the family.
Well, and not to mention that there's so many people with undiagnosed mental health issues. I mean, you have to actually go to see someone and have them do some diagnostic testing and spend some time with them to get a diagnosis, right? And so you think about how many people when the statistic we started with, Wendy, was 1 in 4 people have some experience with mental health issues in their lifetime. Is that a diagnosed or is that the undiagnosed? Because I would think it would be higher if you think about the people who really don't know that they are suffering from something that they could get some medical help with.
I think that statistic is the National Institute of Mental Health's
number.
Estimate.
Okay.
That 1 in 4 people will have a diagnosable, but not necessarily diagnosed, mental health issue in any given year. So really, 1 in 4, you don't have to look very long at line at food front to
three of us
find
here,
somebody. That's right.
And there's Steve.
Then there's Steve. So there's four of us.
So four of us, right.
And we know that Wendy and I are...
Okay. That means it's between Steve and I. We're joking, but this is also a very serious topic, right?
Wendy is very okay.
Yeah, Wendy is very okay.
Wendy has done a lot to help people who do have a diagnosis. And you know, this isn't necessarily a lifelong. I mean, this isn't necessarily a lifelong sentence, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Our friend Chris at NAMI Oregon that we were talking about before we went on the air. He said a very powerful thing. He said, and he has suffered mental illness himself or lives with mental illness. He said, recovery is not the exception, it's the rule.
Hmm.
And I think for Wendy's sister and for my loved one, I don't see it that way. But I love to hear that. That is so, it gives me goosebumps. It's thrilling.
Wow.
That recovery is not the exception. It's the rule.
It's the rule.
It is absolutely possible. But you're right. First has to come diagnosis. And there are so many people who never get that far.
Right.
And diagnosis can take
a long
time. Commonly, apparently, some illnesses, 8 to 10 years.
To be diagnosed?
To be diagnosed.
Wow.
I mean, people know there's something wrong. I have a friend who...